So, Tim, Sound of Freedom has become a summer blockbuster, and it is your story. What has it been like watching the movie make more than $125 million now?
I just go back to just, 30 days ago, I'm sitting with Angel Studios, and they're like, hey, the projections are looking pretty good. This was before the film came out. And they said, we could hit $30 million if a couple of things line up. And that was like, wow, that'd be amazing. You double what the cost of the budget was. And to sit here, you know, a few weeks later at $125 million and not slowing down. Like, you know, this past weekend, I saw the report. It was higher than the first weekend. And that's not supposed to happen, right? Every other movie, every progressing week, it's less screens, it's less money, and here we are going the opposite direction.
What do you think is driving that interest? Why do you think people are flocking to see it?
I think a couple things. I think it's resonating with people. I think we live in a time where children are being forgotten. I mean, people are pretending that they're not forgetting them, but kids are extremely vulnerable right now. I mean, think about the things that the public school teachers are trying to give them, things like really pornography. Like it's shocking the stuff that they want to give these kids that are only a parent's business to talk about. Kids are doing something. They're trying to give kids the power of consent to do things like this is nothing to do with, you know, the children and I call it the trans foist, okay, on children. I think it's horrifying what's happening. I'm very libertarian. Adults, do what you want. I support you. I'll fight for your right. But children, you think a 13-year-old can consent? That's scary because I'm watching the pedophiles salivate over all these policies. They want the kids sexualized. They want the kids to have the ability to consent to outrageous things. Because what's the next outrageous thing? It's not even that much more outrageous. If a kid wants to not consent to have sex with a 50-year-old, well, what's more outrageous, that or a kid consenting to mutilating their genitalia? So the kids are under attack. People see it. The border situation, 85,000 children that the U.S. government lost into the belly of the United States, which is the largest economy of pedophilia in the world, meaning that it's the highest consuming nation for child exploitation material. So kids are being hurt in a lot of ways. I think people feel it. I think there's a spiritual warfare context to some of this stuff, and people feel that too. So when this film comes out and it exposes bad guys doing bad things to kids, it kind of brings all these things to the surface. And then the other thing that's happening, and you and I were talking offline about this as well, is these people coming out against the film, but they're lying about it, and they know they are. Anyone who watches the film knows there's nothing QAnon-ish or QAnon adjacent, okay, as CNN calls it, and Rolling Stone and all the others. Interestingly, Billy, this is a funny story. If you go do a search from October of 2014, that's when we did the big operation on the island. All those media outlets reported on the rescue in glowing reports, applauding our efforts. The Guardian, MSNBC, CBS, CNN. I was on a lot of those. And all of a sudden, 10 years later, oh, now it's not true, or now it's something's wrong. No, the story didn't change. You changed. You changed. You bought into this kind of woke, godless kind of culture where kids can be targeted in the name of liberating them. And people are pissed. They're pissed that they're being lied to by the mainstream media about the film. And then they go and see it. I've watched like podcasts and things about people's responses. Like, I went there thinking there'd be a shred of evidence of something political, something QAnon. And I come out with, it's just based on a true story about kids being rescued, and they're furious, and they go and talk, and then other people are like, I got to see this. It's almost like a train wreck to some people. I got to go see it myself. What's going on? Not that the film.
I
got to
go see this QAnon adjacent movie, and then you watch it. Let me ask you this, because the film, yes, it deals with child exploitation. It deals with two children, their story, your story as part of that. For some reason, some people walked away from the movie and they were like, oh, Tim Ballard is basically saying that only children are trafficked, nobody else. I mean, there was this whole narrative created around the plot of the film. How do you respond to that? Because it seemed like it was just one story that was being told.
So bizarre. So bizarre. So bizarre. Human trafficking, child trafficking, it is so unique in every place. I say trafficking has different faces in different places. So people are going to criticize the film because it doesn't look like that in Washington State. You know, it doesn't look like that in New York City. Well, yeah, nothing, that you see in a Columbia-based story probably looks like what you're going to find in the United States. And it's going to be different in another place. And it's going to be different over here and over there. So let's just throw the whole thing out because it doesn't fit the narrative that I want, broadcast about how trafficking happens. It is so selfish. It's so selfish, not to me, not to the producers. That's who they target, to those kids who were rescued. I am in touch with them still. They're young adults now. We're going to bring them up soon to the United States to do a summit. And I invite all those critics. I always say, come talk to us. I would love to hear you tell the kids that their story doesn't deserve to be told because when you saw it or when it happened to your friend, it looked differently. I mean, it's so bizarre, but it tells the first thing you know about someone that does this, they're putting kids and rescue and the whole mission down low. I'm sure they still care, but it's not the number one thing. The number one thing is themselves, their institution, their agenda. That's first, and that's sad. You know, if ever that's driving someone's thoughts about anything, and kids are not the number one thing, well, then you actually start to become part of the problem.
Well, I will say this. I met you about a decade ago, and when I met you, your passion for the issue has always been very clear. It was back then when we became friends and I had a chance to hear your heart on this issue. And here you are now, a decade later. You've allowed this story to be told. You were part of telling this story. Now, this movie was made a few years back, and it sat, correct? I'm correct in stating that, right? It sat for a bit.
Yeah, absolutely.
What was the story behind that?
Another funny little fun fact, it was made and produced and finished before anyone had heard the word QAnon. So that kind of walls off any potential QAnon dogmas in the film. It was done. Bizarre, because I watched it and I'm like, this seems like a really good movie. Of course, I'm way too close to it. Why is it not getting picked up? Fox produced, Disney bought Fox, Disney watched it, didn't want it. They didn't want to put it out. I'm like, why? Why don't you want to put it out? I'm sure they're kicking themselves right now.
Did you ever get an answer? Did you guys ever get an answer for why they shelved it?
They just said it's not for us. That's it. It's not for us. So it took a year for Eduardo Verástegui to get the film out of their hands. And then it went to Amazon. I mean, it got pitched everywhere. Not for us, not for us, not for us. And I started thinking, maybe this is not a good movie. Maybe I'm so close to it. I'm talking about the art of it, not necessarily like me or my story, but like it seems like a pretty high quality film. And people who I watch it are like in tears and move. Why isn't it picking this up? It truly is, Billy. I mean, it's spiritual. It's all God's timing. I think God has the ability to put like a malaise over people, like a cloud, because it's not for them. I don't even blame them. I'm just, when we came across Angel Studios, they picked it up right away. They signed a deal in 5 days from the pitch to the deal, which is, they said that's never happened. And then 90 days later, we're launching the film. So, and then it just took off. So I think it's God's an 11th hour God. I think he does it on purpose. I think he runs a lot faster than the devil. And the devil can't keep up. He can't get his foothold in time to get his minions together. So that's why he's an 11th hour God. It's like, I can just get it done real quick before this guy can even begin to catch up. And that's why I feel happened with Sound of Freedom.
You know, when I look at your story and I know your heart for this issue and fighting trafficking, when you look at the film's success and you go back to that conversation where you guys were talking, like maybe we'll hit 30 million and everyone was excited for that. Here you are north of 125 million at this point. When you look at the impact of this movie, what are you hoping to see happen at the end of the day, outside of the art of it and the popularity of it? What do you want to see happen?
I mean, I want kids to stop hurting. I've seen, we've rescued through different organizations that I've been a part of thousands of kids. I've seen so much pain. I want that to stop. And we're going to use the power of this film. And the awareness and people now motivated and converted and understanding, we got to channel that energy into more rescues to get more kids out and healed.
And what do you think right now? I mean, this is a hard question to answer right now, I think, because we're in the middle of the success of it. But there are a lot of organizations. When you started doing this, you were like a pioneer in this area. There were not a lot of organizations. There were not a lot of people doing what you did, rescuing. Now there are a lot of groups out there. Do you think that this film is helping those groups? is the debate hurting those groups in terms of just attention to the issue, attention to their mission, donations even? What do you think the impact is right now?
I think that it's early to say, but I'm doing my best to make sure that the power of this film gets to every worthy organization. And I say that through the eyes of a child. I've seen the darkest corners of the planet where kids are being held, kids are held captive, and they deserve the best rescue. And there's always a group that's going to be the best possible for that kid. And it might, like, I'll just, there was an operation recently that I helped to fund. It was in a remote part of the world. I can't say because it's still new. And there was one organization, small, no, little budget. I had never even heard of them, but they were the only ones I could find in place right then at that moment to get the kids. And so we deployed resources and they did it. That's what I'm talking. Like, we have to find all of those organizations throughout the world. There's like there's a couple thousand anti-trafficking organizations. Some are really good. Maybe some are better at different things, but my goal now is to identify those and make sure the resources get to whoever is the best for whatever situation is required.
Now, one of the other things that the media have picked up on of late is that you are no longer officially a part of Operation Underground Railroad. And a lot of the outlets that, or a number of them, didn't give a lot of context to that or information on that. What can you tell us about that?
Well, yeah, we're going to be coming out. Look, to accomplish the objective that I just stated of how can I help all? It's, I have to be independent to help everybody. And also helping Operation Underground Railroad, which is amazing. And I would still call OUR the premier organization, as far as I'm concerned, in rescue and rehabilitation. The Nazarene Fund as well. My plan is not, I have no plan to supplant either of these organizations. Over the last 10 years, I've sat on the board of four organizations. I've been the CEO of two. I founded one. So I still sit on the board of two, including Aerial Recovery. I can't be an employee of any of them. There's too much red tape. There's too many legalities associated, conflicts of interest to be able to open up and do everything I need to do. And help, direct the resources to everyone, whoever can do the job best in that situation. So this was not something sudden. I was talking to board members 8 months ago or longer about feeling a need to be more independent. The bigger we got, I thought I could be more effective as independent, whether it's, doing it through media or speaking, books, consulting. And so I will not be an employee of any one single nonprofit organization, because that only limits what I can do, especially when the Sound of Freedom was seeing the success. That's when I really knew, okay, even when the pre-sale started, I have to accelerate this plan and get out and be independent so I can just consult and help. And so one of the organizations that I'm consulting, amongst others, is called the Spear Fund, thespearfund.org. And this is not an organization. It's really a fund. And I love it. I love what they're doing over there. Again, I'm not an employee because I'm not going to be entangled in any one nonprofit. But what they're doing is the plan that I'm hoping to implement anyway, which is they're seeking all over with experts the best organizations for whatever need arises, and then funding those organizations. And I love it also because the ratio to project to overhead is tremendous, because all the funds go directly to project. To this organization or that organization, the overhead is very small. There's probably a few employees that are making salaries. Everything else goes straight down to projects. So it's a way to scale, it's a way to unify and scale. And I tell people, if you've donated or given to any of those organizations that I've been a part of, don't stop. Keep doing it. Keep giving. Give more, in fact. This is not a replacement. This is a force multiplier so that we can bring others into the fold and make sure that the kids have the best response that they can have.
All right, final question for you. What do you want your legacy to be? Because you've got a lot going on right now. There's a lot happening. But at the end of the day, in 30, 40 years, when all is said and done, what do you want that legacy to be?
I would love to learn someday after I'm dead, maybe, that I contributed to the best solutions that ended child slavery. that I was able to contribute effort, ideas, resources, whatever I had, to accomplishing that end goal.
Tim Ballard, it's always great to connect with you. Appreciate your time today.
Thank you, Billy.